I never understood how this would help the neshama.
Introducing Ellie Weber, Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock sharp. Sefer Mitzvot number 218, Veloti Elisha, and also in memory of my father's first yahrzeit, Avraham Yaakov ben Mordechai.
Hakohen.
And for David Kahn. David, you're not a Kohen, are you?
No.
Not David Kahn. A fake Kohen for his mother, Miriam.
Miriam Bat Yehuda.
Mat Bat Yehuda. Her yahrzeit today also.
Okay.
Take it away, Ellie.
Good morning, everybody.
We could try to learn while we eat.
I suppose I'll be
you. Breakfast and learn.
I'm guessing that the question of like what's better for the neshama, eating or learning. You know, I'm sorry to say, I'm guessing it's learning. But
I say we had your back.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. We are up to... I struggled so hard to find the name for the smith, so they just went for the words in the psukim. Below Tiyela Isha. This will be different than any other mitzvah we've ever done together. It raises all kinds of issues in terms of what constitutes a mitzvah and what doesn't. It also, I think, is definitely like a top five misunderstood mitzvah in the Torah, which we're going to try to sort out today. The easiest thing is to read the psukim, and then we'll come back and talk. The psukim say as follows: Dvarim Perek Chafet and Kisei say, Ki yimsa ish na'ara betula, asher lo orasa ve'ut. Okay, a man finds a woman who's never been married, who is not married, utifasa v'shachav ima v'nimsa'u. What does that really mean? I think he rapes her. Right? Utfasa. Again, there's a whole discussion. But in the halacha, the understanding is this is a forcible act. Okay? Again, there's a discussion about, depending on where it happens, the halachic assumption is if it happened like in a civilized or populated area and no one heard her yell, then it was consensual, which yields one set of results. If it happened in the if it happened where nobody was, the assumption is it's forcible, right? You hear the phrase in halacha, ones u'mefata. Ones is force. It's what we would call rape in some form. Mefata is what we would call like seduction. Okay? So, what's the din? Let's assume, because it's the case, let's assume that we're talking about something like rape. Okay? And let's also be very clear. It's us, or there's a gazillion things wrong with it. But now it's an interesting din. Because she is not married, it's not the highest level isser. Okay? If you slept with a married person, that's horrible.
Exactly.
But here, let's assume in our context, it's two single people. Okay? Again, in the Torah, for halakha purposes, the man doesn't marry if he's married or not, because halakha could have more than one wife. It matters for the woman. Okay, but here's the part. Chapset, pasuk chapset. V'natan ha'ish ha-shochev ima la'avi ha-na'ara chamishim kasef. The first thing is, there's a fine, right? There's a
monetary... Why not for her?
So assume she's a katana, assume all kinds of reasons. That's probably the answer. If she's older, the fine probably goes to her. Right? For whatever reason, so normally talks in a situation of a katana or an ara amurasa. Okay, that's less important. So the first...
You also assume she's a betula.
Because I'm not assuming it. The pasuk says it. Okay? One second. Let's just finish the pasuk. So, there is a fine of, chamishim kasef. I don't know enough to say how significant the fine is. Of course, it has to do with how much money the guy has. But first, part of the punishment is a fine, and here comes the part we're going to discuss more, and it's really the controversial and the misunderstood part. One is a fine. Second, v'lo tihiye le'isha. What does that mean?
Married.
Married.
V'lo tihiye le'isha. Tachat Asher Ina, because he forced her. Not only that, Lo Yuchal Shalcha Kol Yamav. Okay, because the Torah understands how easy this would be to overcome. Fine, we force you to marry her because you forced her. Fine, you'll just divorce her the next day. So the Torah says, no. V'lo tihiya le'isha, he has to be her husband. And in connection with that, and it's a separate lo tase, lo yuchal shalacha kol yamav. He is not, well said, he is stuck with her. Right? No, but really, he's stuck with her. And let's be honest, this is the least romantic thing ever. We're not.
Just had to translate that. V'lo tihiya
le'isha. V'lo tihiya le'isha. He will be for her, for a husband, or say it the other way, she will be for him for a wife. Okay? That's how the din is referred to. V'lo tihiya le'isha. So, there's a gazillion ways to start. But let's first point at the opposite, the obvious. One of the benefits we get from more or less doing Sefer HaMitzvahs in order is you see how the Rambam, categorized things, because he obviously did it thematically. Now, sometimes it's the case that he finished the theme and he just has to move on to something else. But since we've been looking at mitzvahs, and it took us a long time because we took long breaks, like marriage and the simach et ishto, and then bris milah came because the pru urvu was clearly a result of, and then we had two mitzvahs in a row, one yibum and one chalitza, and the next one is v'lo tihiya le'isha. So you could say, given that we're going to then move in to other related areas, including eishes yifas toar, that now we're in like an area of strange marriages, or something, less than happy marriages. They're the result of a tragedy, and or they're the result of a crime. Right, in this case, it's the result of a crime. He committed a crime by forcibly sleeping with her, and the result is he has to marry her.
Now again, strange stuff.
Yeah, there's plenty of strange things going on, and we'll try to explain them all. But the first thing to just point out is the context in which the Rambam presents this, and the idea that in the Torah there is Kiddushin, okay, which obviously is the way we want to go about doing this, but there's a surprising number of other ways that you are bound to a woman that would not be the subject of a Disney movie. Right? Let's put it that way, right? Kiddushin is like a Disney movie, and then Yibum, Chalitza, below Tihiyad Le'isha, that's rated R, for sure, Eishas Yifas Toar, that's like NC-17. Well, it's just strange. There are many, many more bizarre marriages in the Torah than there are just the regular one. Okay?
It reflects real life.
Huh?
It reflects the real life.
Maybe it reflects your real life. I'm in the Disney one. I don't mean to brag, but okay. Now, that's just in terms of the sort of the background and the context. But let's assume, as is the case, because I wrote on top, say from Mitzvah number 218, this is a mitzvah. Okay, we have to deal with that. This is a mitzvah. It changes how we look at mitzvahs, because you go, oh, he's a mitzvah man. That means like he gives tzedakah. It doesn't mean he marries the woman he raped. Okay, this is not good for the internet. I'm telling you, this is not good. Okay, but it disabuses us of the idea, we've seen this before, that everything that's called a mitzvah is something God wants us to do. But one second. It just, whatever you're about to say, you can't disagree with that.
Okay.
Just like, for example, okay, for example, there is a mitzvah min haTorah of v'heishivat hagzela asher gazal, returning stolen property. Don't tell me that you're about to say that's a mitzvah you aspire to be mekayim. Okay? It's not true. It's just, the fact that something is called a mitzvah doesn't mean, I think next week, I didn't peek ahead, it's coming up, Geirushin. That's a mitzvah satorah. Okay, again, it doesn't mean that God wants us to divorce our wives. It doesn't mean that. we need to find another working definition for parts of Tariag Mitzvahs. You know, Reb Salvechik used to say they're Inyanei HaTorah. What they really mean is, in this case, if you're in this situation, right, this is what you're obligated to do.
Maybe that's what I want to say. That's what I want to say, is that you did something terrible, right? So at that point, the mitzvah starts after you did something terrible, that you're going to make amends to this woman in a certain way. Right? So is it a mitzvah is a good thing. Whatever, there are mitzvahs you start out when you're perfect, there are mitzvahs you start out when you're awful, and then from there you've got to go to good.
Even that I'm not so sure I agree with.
Okay.
Meaning, your approach is we're making amends. Certainly, it's got to be the case that when you talk about the Heshev HaSagzel, yes, it sounds like, you know, you're fixing the problem.
Right.
But I don't know if it's always fair to say that, and we're going to have to talk about it in this context.
Right.
But
right.
In your approach, you're right. Once you did this terrible thing, but what would you do with Gerushin?
In a sense, you're saving your wife from you. When you were married, you tried to make things work out, and they didn't. So
okay, but you're less
confident. The tikkun is for you to be apart.
Great, but you're less confident of this one. We can all agree.
It's a fair problem.
Well, we all agree that, you know, it's hard to see where making amends is part. It's hard to see where, you know, Tumas Shratzim, which is the Rambam counts as mitzvahs. Basically, if you touch a sheret, you become tameh. Wait, that's a, you know, it seems more like it's a halachic concept that's Torah based as opposed to. Okay, but there are different categories.
What about Shuvah?
Huh?
Or Vidui for Shuvah? Rambam Vidui and Shuvah.
Yeah, what about
that? That's a mitzvah. But
that's a good thing.
Did something wrong.
Good.
Right?
I agree.
Okay.
You know, now. That's one conversation. The next conversation. Who's the mitzvah on? Right? V'lo tihye le'isha. Who's the mitzvah on? So presumably the simple shot is this man. Right? But that assumes that you're making amends. Work backwards. There are two parts to this. You have to pay 50 shekel. Okay? That's the first part. And you have to get married. How do you view the 50 shekel? The obligation to pay 50 shekel.
It belongs to her father.
Who said, well, come on.
It's family honor, so to speak.
But it's not going to be a mitzvah. Right? What it sounds like is,
if she's
let's say, it could be Besdin's obligated to make sure this guy pays 50 shekel. Maybe the mitzvah's on Besdin. Maybe it's not on the person at all.
If she's not a youngster anymore, the 50 goes to her, and he marries her, so it eventually goes back to him anyway.
What a scam. I suppose she keeps it separately. Don't know. But these things get into the question of, is it, you know, for what purpose is he marrying her? Is it a punishment on him? Is it for her benefit? Like, could you see that as, well, there's Makos, there's Kares, there's Misa, just having to marry her. No, really.
She's refusing all her rights, though, can
So we'll get to that. For sure that's the case. And then, let's knock this off right away. Because it's a real point. People always refer to, you know, point to this mitzvah as proof of, you know, how sexist the Torah is, whatever. Let's be clear. She doesn't have to marry him. That's the critical element here. And that also is going to play out in how we see the mitzvah. Wait. He's going, I have a mitzvah. Right? And she's like, no. That has
better
to play out. But it's very you have to understand, that's very, very important. That I think it's the opposite. I think when you look at sensitivity in the Torah, this is one of the most sensitive mitzvahs in the sense that, I'll say it simply, if you live in a society where a rape victim stands no chance of getting married because she's damaged goods.
Well, that's what
whatever,
the father's telling her. Better marry her.
For whatever reason. Whatever reason. So now the Torah says maybe for her benefit, it goes from being what she chattel, you know, now she has to marry him, to being, you know, perhaps the most sensitive thing ever, which is the Torah saying to her, listen, make a decision, right? If you think that this is in your best interest, then, okay, he has to marry you and he has to He has to marry you. He has to support. It's in the poster. Right. He has to support you forever. Right? Or, no. You're going to be fine. The last thing you want to do, you know, is marry your rapist. I think that the fact that there's a mitzvah HaTorah, and this is where it gets really interesting, there's a mitzvah HaTorah that can be overcome by the desire of a woman. Right? The pasuk says, V'lo tiyeh le'isha. He now has a mitzvah. And he feels terrible for what he did, and he wants to do the right thing. And she says, no. And the Torah says, now you have a category of a mitzvah. We've seen this before, like conditional mitzvah. Right? What's a conditional mitzvah? You know, if I have a porch, I have to put a makah, you know, a railing around. If I don't have a porch, I don't have to. If I have a house, I have to put up a mezuzah. If I don't, I don't have to. Now you have, okay, a conditional mitzvah. If, God forbid, you committed this crime, you have a mitzvah to marry the woman. But it's doubly conditional because you can only do the mitzvah if she consents. Right? That I think is fascinating, and that I find it hard to find another mitzvah like that. I think the connection to Yibum and Chalitza might be that there too, kind of, the woman has, you know.
A Chalitza, she can say no.
No, Chalitza, she can't say no. Yibum, she can say no.
Right.
There's
a fallback.
There's a fallback. In many ways, we had this conversation last week. It's similar in the sense that, like, the guy, the brother shows up and says, I want to do the mitzvah of Yibum. And she says no. But there the Torah has another mitzvah called Chalitza. Here there is no alternative. If she says no, that's the end of the conversation. Quick.
Would we say that this is a mitzvah that's good for society? So they don't end up with an unmarried woman, maybe even pregnant, and it's a burden of society. It's a good opportunity for them to fix it up so, again, it doesn't end up on the welfare plate.
I don't know why. You could be right, but I don't know why you need to go to society when you have a woman in front of you. It's
because
good for
she,
her.
Well, she may not think so, but she may in the end be pushed to do it. And everyone in the town is happy because she's married. They have a kid. It's a family.
I don't know. But let's start with the question, the fundamental question of, is it a knas or is it a mitzvah?
Where do we know that she can get out of
it? We'll get there. I hope. Okay. Believe me, that's the din. Okay, let's look at the Rambam, just so that we have some place to start. The Rambam says in mitzvah, Reish Yudchet, He shetziva ha'ones, ha'ones is literally the rapist, the forcer, laseit et anusato. Okay, it sounds like the mitzvah in the Rambam is that the me'anes is commanded, has a mitzvah, to marry his victim. V'hu amaro yitales, what the Torah says, our pasuk, v'lo tihiye li'isha tachat asher ina. I have to say, in the Rambam, it really sounds like a mitzvah slash a punishment. He says, look at the pasuk. She has to be his wife tachat asher ina as a result of the fact that he raped her. Ukvar hitbaya b'gmar b'makot shezeh halav shela'ones shehu lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav hu lo ta'aseh shekidamo aseh. Okay, this is an interesting technicality. Lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav is a prohibition. What does it mean? He's not allowed to divorce her, ever. If he divorced her, it would be like, you know, basar b'chala. It would be like chilul Shabbos. It would be a Torah violation to divorce her. Interesting, and we're not going to discuss this now, maybe when we get to Lota says, you know, you could claim that it can't be done. Why isn't, you know, lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav, does that mean he's prohibited from divorcing her, or he's incapable of divorcing her? For example, I mean, you know, he writes her a get, he gives her a get, but the din is, it didn't work. She's still your wife. Or no. It touches on last week's parsha, which is very interesting. The Torah, as far as I know, we'll take a 2-minute detour. The Torah, as far as I know, doesn't have attempted crimes. It's a very interesting thing. There's no crime in the Torah called attempted murder. You either murdered or you didn't. There's no attempted achilas chametz. There's nothing like that. The Torah is kind of a result-oriented system.
So to shoot and miss, it's not covering?
If people are waiting to talk. If I cut him off, I'm certainly going to cut you off. Okay? There's, last week's Parsha had an example, of the only one I could think of really, of an attempted crime, and it was fascinating, is it doesn't work. Tamura, on the assumption that you didn't get to the end of the Parsha, or you're just not into it, I will explain. You have a carbon. You were makdish a carbon to give to the Beit HaMikdash. Then for whatever reason, you wanted to switch that carbon to something else. It turns out that that's your daughter's favorite sheep, and she's never going to forgive you. And you explain to her, no, it's an Ola now, and she's not going to forgive you. So you want to switch it for another sheep. So the Torah says you can't do that. Vim hamer yamer behema bivhema, and if you do it, v'hayahu utmurato yihyeh kodesh. Both animals now. So now you're in violation, and it didn't work anyway.
Works it.
Yeah. Right? It's an attempted crime that didn't work. So interestingly, lo yuchal shalcha kal yamav could be understood two ways. And the simple thing is, you do have the power to divorce her, but if you divorce her, you're in violation of the Torah law. You wanted to say something? Okay. Okay, excellent. Plenty of time.
What happens if she does want to marry the guy? Because the guy is a real disgusting...
He's a rapist. What do you mean?
Right. Does she have a choice of not marrying?
Yes, I said that already. Right. Okay. I'm sorry, that's very important to understand. She absolutely has a choice. He has no choice. She has a choice.
Well, there's attempted rape or attempted murder. There's no crime.
I'm not saying you get shlishi. But as far as I know, when you look in black and white halacha, there's a whole discussion we could have another time of the halachic system doesn't really work as written. Let's admit this. You know, the easiest thing, how do you convict a murderer?
Two witnesses.
Right? Who warn him, who toch kidei dibur, he's holding the knife. And right, and according to one shita, he has to say, yes, I acknowledge that if I do this, I would get skila, and I'm doing it anyway. Everybody understands that that's much more theoretical. Right? When you read the Torah, you think that Bez is killing people every Monday and Thursday. Like, everything you do, you get death penalty for. No one ever died. The system doesn't really work that way, and that's like a big conversation to have one time, and maybe we should do it. How does it work? Lemaisa, what kind of deterrence is there in a system in which literally people get away with murder by simply refusing to acknowledge that they got hasra? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, it would make like these crimes... It's a problem. Okay? Yes.
Okay.
I don't even say it's a problem.
When you divorce a woman...
Yes.
She's divorced. So why isn't she not divorced? If she's divorced, she's free to go any way she wants to.
If she's divorced?
Yeah.
Okay. How does a person get divorced?
You go to a rabbi or...
You follow Torah law.
Yeah,
what if the Torah said, no matter what you want, you cannot divorce this woman?
Why?
Because he raped her.
He raped her. It's a punishment.
It's a punishment.
I don't want to... If I was raped by somebody, I don't want to say
that. Okay, excellent. So you don't have to. That's the din. But let's say you wanted to, for whatever reason, okay? Then he's prohibited from divorce. Okay, good. Back in the Rambam. So the Rambam now says, just interestingly, this is what's called a lav shekidamo asei. It means there's a lot asei, you're prohibited from divorcing her, but prior to the lot asei, there's an asei. The asei is, you have to marry her, you have to stay married. Okay, leave that.
Is there another
the kat nimru v'gomru, lot asei shekidamo, okay. Hine kvahit ba'er shamru v'lo tihye le'isha mitzvat aseh. The Rambam is making it clear that the din of v'lo tihye le'isha is in fact a mitzvat aseh min haTorah. Okay. Now, who disagrees with the Rambam? So it's hard to know exactly. You know, some of these things, you know, Achronim point these things out. I'm happy for people to disagree, but you could see let's just look at the range of shitos. Look at the Tur. The Torah in source number 3, quoting this halacha, says as follows. V'konsin ha-me'aneis she'tzarich lisa'ota. V'konsin et ha-me'aneis, what's that?
Punishment.
Where they fine, a knas is a fine, it's a punishment. So we punish
the rapist, so he has to marry her. Afilu hi chigeret osuma, there's something wrong with her, she's blind, whatever. Ve'eino rashai lahotzia la'olam, ela liritzona. Right? He can never divorce her unless she wants to get divorced. Which in the Torah sounds like 10 years later she could say, I want to get divorced, and then they can get divorced. But most, one second. Most people point out that the Torah says, v'kontin, knas. Right? It's not his mitzvah. It's a din that bezdin. It's, you know what it's like? It's like if you stole, so you have to pay kefel. Is that a mitzvah? No, that bezdin requires you to pay kefel. Mr. Weiser.
Yeah. If she wants.
Correct.
Because the man means also the
digital. No, not the man, only the woman. He has no say in it. That's pshat in the pasuk.
No, but she doesn't want to marry him.
He has no choice. Yes, she has a choice. He has no choice. Okay? Now. Correct. Now. The father or her, the woman in most cases. Yes. Now the question is, okay, why does it matter if it, what's, okay, it's an interesting discussion whether it's a mitzvah or a knas. But interestingly, there are significant halachic ramifications to the difference between a mitzvah and a knas. What's the most famous rule of knas? That when I say it, you'll know it. The answer is, the rule is, modeh b'knas patur. If I stole something, but I admit it, I don't have to pay double. I have to pay double if Beis Din convicts me of the crime. But if on my own, and maybe it's an incentive, right? If on my own I get up and I say, I did it, I'm patur from the knas. Okay? Again, I have to return the property that I stole, but I'm patur from the knas. If this is a knas, Achronim point this out. Would it really be the case that if the guy gets up and says, I did it, that he wouldn't have to marry her? Because somehow, you know, whatever the deterrent value is, it's a real discussion in Achronim as to whether that's true. Okay. Similarly, and this is much more important, halacha l'maisa, even though obviously, God willing, none of this is halacha l'maisa, a knas does not exist bizman hazeh. Because a knas can only, it's a halachic creation that requires a real bezdin. Right? What we have nowadays are fake batei dinim. Not that they're not fake and that there aren't people aren't talmidei chacham, but they don't really have smicha all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So they don't have the authority to create a knas.
No, we have to have
one second. So now you have to have smicha, the real smicha. Right, nobody has real smicha. So the question is, and this is also an interesting discussion, God forbid it happens bizman hazeh. If it's a knas, so the guy's not obligated to marry her. Because only a court could impose that kind of fine on him. If it's a mitzvah, if it's a value, so then presumably he would have to do it. Right? You know, the Torah applies bizman hazeh, even without a bezdin. And the less you make this a din in bezdin, and the more you make this like a mitzvah, meaning nobody goes to, you know, we don't need a bezdin to take a lulav and esrog. Right? We don't need a bezdin to do mitzvahs at all. We don't need a bezdin to get married. We don't need a bezdin to get divorced. Presumably, we wouldn't need a bezdin to tell a rapist that he has to marry his victim. Because again, I didn't look it up. I assume there must be bizarre cases through the years in which this has come up. But that's a fundamental nafka mina between whether this is a knas or a mitzvah. Now, there is an in-between approach in the pasuk. Again, we've said this before, we'll say it again. The Torah gives two results to the case of a rapist. One is a fine. The other is v'lo tihiya le'isha. Our mitzvah of he has to be married to her. And part of the conversation has to be, well, do they have to belong to the same group or not? You know, 50 shekel sounds to me like a knas, whereas getting married to me doesn't sound like a knas. So in fact, in source number 4, that's the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch says as follows. V'noheged mitzvah zo v'inyan hechreach piraon haknas. This mitzvah, the mitzvah of requiring the rapist to pay a fine, applies bizcharim, man obviously, bizman habayit. When there's a Beis HaMikdash. Why Beis HaMikdash? Because sheyesh koach biyadeinu ladun dinei knasot. Because then we have the ability, right? It's not a din that's in any way connected to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was a time in which we had a functioning Sanhedrin and functioning courts. Okay? Now, that's the first part of the pasuk. Second, uleinyan sheyisa'ena ha'ones af bizman hazeh hi mitzvah alav. Says the Chinuch, we're going to split the pasuk. The fine of 50, that's a knas, it requires a bezdin, it doesn't apply bizman hazeh. The second part, uleinyan sheyisa'ena, that he has to marry her, he says, af bizman hazeh hi mitzvah alav, shehanisuin mitzvahi velo knas. Could not be any clearer. The Chinuch says, getting married is a mitzvah, it is not a fine. Therefore, to answer our questions, at least within the Chinuch, if you admitted it, you wouldn't have to pay the fine. Because moda b'knas patur, or bizman hazeh, there is no fine.
Moda is all across the board?
Every knas.
Wow.
Every knas. Again, the principle, you always have to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, dalad vehe, you have to pay four or five times because you stole a sheep, you stole an ox. No, if you admit it, then you don't have to. Okay? But with respect to the marriage part, says the Chinuch, that's a mitzvah, and even bizman hazeh, in theory, the halacha would be that a rapist has to marry his victim.
So they have a case where he says, I did it, but it wasn't a rape.
Kentucky.
She said, no, it was like what we have today. She said, no, it wasn't right.
I assume.
What do you do in that case?
Okay, so that's no different than nowadays. You know, the way we learn it, we have no choice. We're learning assuming it's an onus, right? There is, maybe next week or on the week after, there's mefateh, the seduction, right? Where there, I guess both of them say, again, you have to understand, in the way we think about it, the problem is that it was forced. If it wasn't forced, it's fine. That's not true in the Torah, right? You know, two married people who willingly sleep with each other, but they're married to other people, that's a death penalty, whether it's rape, you know what I mean? So part of it is we have a Western way of thinking about it. It's not wrong where, you know, if there's consent, what could be the crime, right? In the Torah, it doesn't work that way at all. There's consent to Chil Shabbos.
It's still adultery. It's still adultery.
Right, but I don't know, like, in the world we live in, okay, you call it adultery. Is there some kind of legal consequence?
Religious consequence. If a child emerges, it's a bastard.
I agree with you completely. I'm saying religiously, consent has nothing to do with it. You can't consent to something that the Torah prohibited.
I think it was against the law in America in certain states, adultery. It was against the regular law.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a state that still has that.
I don't know if it's still in the books.
Down south or.
I don't think there's such a thing anymore, but okay.
Shetland.
Okay.
Alabama.
Fine. Their incest isn't even prohibited. Okay.
Sheep? They do sheep.
Now, let's now look at the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka to see if we could try to figure out on what side of this debate he's on. Knas or mitzvah, and how he really sees it. Okay, so first of all, you just get a good halacha. This is the Rambam in the first halacha in Ilchos Nara Besula, source number 5. I picked it up in the middle. The Rambam says, Aval ha'anusa, the victim of a rape. Shelo ratzta hi o avia lehinase la'onet. She or her father doesn't want her. Again, let's talk about a ktana. Let's talk about in the case we would think about if the woman decides on her own. Okay? She doesn't want to marry her rapist. Okay? Harishut biyadam v'notein knas. Okay? It's interesting because you might have thought the two are connected. He has to pay 50 shekel and he has to marry her. If she doesn't want to marry her, she forfeits the 50 shekel also. The answer is no. The Rambam says that she can reject the offer of marriage, the mandatory offer of marriage, and still collect the fine. Okay? Now, end of the first line. Ratzahi ve'aviha v'lo ratzahu. She says, okay, you know, I'll marry him. But he doesn't want to marry her. What's the halacha? Says the Rambam. Kofinoto. We force him to marry her. Vikones, and he marries her. Vinotein kinas, and he has to pay her. Shenemar v'lo tihiya li'isha, hare zo mitzvat ase. Okay, the Rambam says he can't get out of it. It's mandatory. Once you're in that position, you have to marry her. And the Rambam, you know, then quotes what we've seen already and what's in the Gemara. Afilu hi chigeret o suma o mitzoraat. Basically, you know, the Gemara is saying there's objective reasons why you wouldn't want to be married to this woman. Doesn't matter. Kofino to lichnos ve'eino motzi liritzono le'olam. And he can never, ever, of his own accord, divorce her. Shenema lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. Hare zo mitzvat lo tase. It's a biblical prohibition for him to divorce her ever. Now it's interesting because it raises the possibility, let's face it, this is not a healthy marriage from the start. There's no way around it.
He may never even live with her. He just doesn't show up.
Wrong. Kofino. What
are they going to do to force him? He'll give her money.
The answer is, in the Gemara, which I hate to brag, but I looked up. Okay? He's chayav in all the things that a husband is chayav to give his wife. Okay? Mainly she'er, ksuk, va'ona. You know, marital relations.
How do they force that?
Well, first of all, this is a guy who knows how to force people. Okay, so you're right. You know, it could be that, first of all, in the days of functioning Bate Dinim, they really, you know...
They beat him up.
It's not just that. But if you can't, if they prohibit him from marrying anybody else, my guess is, eventually, you know, you settle in. I don't know. But what I'm saying is the other side is more interesting to me. She can demand a divorce, presumably, or consent to a divorce, which in my mind basically means he's like a placeholder for her. Right? She's marrying him because she's afraid she's not going to marry anybody. But at some point, you know, when she goes to her high school reunion, the 25th high school reunion, and a guy says to her, you know, like, I always had a crush on you, and I know what happened, but, you know, I would have married you.
I would have, but it's too late.
No, but now she can go to him. It sounds like, in a way, she's holding all the cards.
She can demand the divorce.
She can go to him, and all, you know, it's just... It's obviously, you get it, it's not a normal marriage, but these halachos give all of the power in the marriage goes to her. You know, it's exactly the opposite of what we think. Well, you know, she has to marry him, she doesn't have to marry him, she holds all the cards. His whole life, basically, is beholden to him. In a way, you would think that he would be the best husband in the world so that she would allow him to get divorced at some point. You know, there's all kinds of things that it's hard to imagine, but they're out there. Okay, so that's the introduction in the Rambam. Now you come to a situation we wouldn't have thought of, but it's out there. We'll read. Haita anusa zo asura alav. Okay, now, do you mind if I pick on you? No, you. For a good reason. Well, you know what, not you. Somebody else who's a kohen named Marvin. Okay? Marvin... you know, Marvin rapes a woman.
Here's a comment.
Okay, somehow it's easier to imagine you. Okay. Marvin rapes a woman. So, okay, great. The din is exactly as we would understand it. Mm-hmm. He has to marry her. There they are in court. They're about to get married. And she said, by the way, does it matter? Should I tell anybody that I'm a divorcee?
It says
Pesula.
Huh?
It says Pesula.
Okay, fine. You know, good case. Does it matter? Should I tell anybody that I'm his sister? Would that matter at all?
She has it.
Right? Well, no.
That's not good enough.
The marriage is usur. Right? Min haTorah. Not again. None of those things work. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to bring this example.
It's a halakhic problem.
On the one hand, what happens in a case where there's a mitzvah haTorah for him to marry her, and there's an unrelated Isser Torah for him to marry her. Mm-hmm. Right? What do we think the din should be? So interestingly, what do we normally say? It's a good phrase. Ase do chalotase is normally what we say. Mm. That, so for example, In the case of, maybe this will come up.
Right, the Brit and Shabbat.
No, that's not, because there we think of the pasuk says Bayom HaShmini, that it's mutter to begin. A Brit of a person, of a baby who has tzaras, where it's usher to cut off the tzaras, but it's b'makom hamila. Okay? Happens all the time. So, the answer is that normally we say aseh docha lo taseh. What happens in this case? Okay, what happens if the rapist is otherwise unrelatedly prohibited from marrying his victim? What's the din? So the Rambam says, let's read again. Haita anusa zo asura alav afilu michai ve asei va afilu shnia. What does that mean? It's not a sister. It's like your aunt's sister. And it's a drabana. Right? I'm not getting it exactly right because I didn't think
man
I was just planning to go with the divorce thing, and I clearly
man
threw that
never
one.
Rape sister.
So, huh?
Man would never rape his sister.
Could be a stepsister.
You had David's brother.
I'm not into.
I refuse to have this conversation. Okay.
In Alabama.
This is okay. Get out.
Mexico.
Fine. We're not having this conversation. The point is that the Rambam, interestingly, not just that if it's a Torah prohibition, he doesn't have to marry her. Even if it's just a rabbinic prohibition, he doesn't have to marry her. Let's finish the Rambam. That's shocking. V'chein.
Does it have to or cannot?
Cannot. Hareza lo yisa'ena. Okay? V'chein. Similarly. Im nimtza ba davar zima acha shekinsa. If, it is a hard one. Here, he says basically there's a loophole. If she really did something horrific after they married, there is the reason not to be married to her. Hareza yigarshena v'lo tiyeli isha. Here's the drasha in the Gemara. V'lo tiyeli isha. Isha ha-re'uya la. Again, means lo tiyeli isha. She has to be his wife so long as she could be his wife. But if there's an external reason why she cannot be his wife, then she's not. She's now, what's shocking here, and what people, what Achronim point out is, if you want to tell me that if she's the sister, okay, there's two conflicting Torah rules. One, marry her, one, don't marry her. We'll work that out. But if she's, you know, his aunt's sister, and that's just a drabbanan prohibition, and there's a Torah obligation, wouldn't the Torah obligation beat out the rabbinic prohibition? So some people want to claim that it must be that the Rambam holds that it's a knas. It's not a mitzvah, it's a knas. Therefore, okay, Beis Din doesn't institute this knas in a situation where it triggers all kinds of complications. Okay, that's a difficult sheet to say in the Rambam, especially because he quotes in the Tariag Mitzvahs. You know, and it seems pretty clear that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So now you get to something more interesting. We'll work backwards to a Gemara that clearly the Rambam is based on, and it will answer our question. The Gemara in Ksubos, Mem Amad Aleph, in source number 6, it quotes the mitzvah that says, Ketzad Shoteba Atzitzo. The Mishnah has like a really bizarre but kind of funny language, that if you're the rapist, Shoteba Atzitzo means you have to drink from the cup that you used. Mm-hmm. It means you raped her. So now you have to marry her. Okay? Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Amrita L'Shmaita, Kamed Rav Zvid Min Arda. This idea was said in front of Rav Zvid, who comes from the town of Narda. Nei asei v'nidcha lo taseh. Wait, why does it ever happen that he can't marry her? Even if it's his sister. Don't we have a rule of asei docha lo taseh? Right? Whenever you have a clash between an asei and a lo taseh, the asei wins. There's all this theory behind this philosophy that an asei represents avas Hashem and lo taseh represents yiras Hashem, but that's the din. Ask the Gemara. So why would there ever be a case where you don't marry her? Answers the Gemara, Amar Leh, second line, Hecha Amrina Neisei Asei V'nidche Lo Taseh. When do we say that an asei is docha lo taseh? Kigon Mila Bitsaras. When I have a choice. It's binary. Either I retain the tzaras and I don't do a bris milah, or I cut off the tzaras and I do a bris milah. D'lo efsha likiyume la'aseh. It's not possible to fulfill the aseh without being over on the lo taseh. Aval hacha, but in our case, I amra d'lo be'ina, if she says, I don't want to marry him, mi isa la ase klal, well then, the ase went away. This is fascinating. First, on the technical answer is as follows. Why would it be that you don't have to marry your sister if the Torah says it's a mitzvah v'lo tiyah le'isha? Isn't ase docha lo tase? Answers the Gemara, no. Because there's a way to ki'ilu keep both rules. How could you keep both rules? Because if the sister says she doesn't want to marry the brother, then the mitzvah just went away. So you're not in violation of the mitzvah. Everybody with me? So this raises like the interesting, there's two ways to read it. You're not in violation of the mitzvah, or you did the mitzvah. What was the mitzvah? To offer to marry her. To make a good faith offer to marry her so she wouldn't have to remain single. If she chooses not to, right, then you're fine. You know, in that reading of the Gemara, it's not a knas, it's not a mitzvah, it's not an onesh, it's her call.
But
right? You want to make it okay with her. In a way, it's kind of similar to Yibum and Chalitza, which is, you want to do the right thing, which is you want her to be able to have a child in memory of her husband. If she chooses not to, so you don't have to do it. So here, one second. So here you have, the Gemara saying basically, this is a mitzvah asay, but it's like super conditional. It's not just that it's conditional that you only have this mitzvah if, God forbid, you're a rapist. But even then it's conditional, because if she doesn't want you to do the mitzvah goes away. So therefore, if you go back into the Rambam, how could the Rambam hold that even if the prohibition to marry the victim is only rabbinic, it's docha, the mitzvah saseh of mandatory marriage between the rapist and the victim? So the answer is, because it's a strange kind of mitzvah. It's a biblical mitzvah, but it's completely contingent on her desire. Therefore, as people say, like, it somehow becomes like it becomes a lesser mitzvah. Becomes, you know, when you start ranking mitzvahs in the Torah, a mitzvah that only can be fulfilled if the woman agrees is a less important mitzvah, and therefore won't be docha mitzvah lo tase.
It's hard to realize, but if a woman agrees, then you're sanctifying incest.
So the halacha is you can never do that. Means lo tiyah isha. The drasha is isha haruya the kedushin. You never marry your sister. The question is why, and the answer is because since she could say no anyway, we're not going to have a case of asay docha lo tase. You might be right to say it's reverse engineered, because the Torah would be, you know, it's abhorrent to marry your sister, and we never wanted that result to begin with. But we have a technical halachic way to explain it away, and that is, this is not a case of asay docha lo tase, because this is the weakest type of mitzvah tase you could have. Okay, fine.
In the case you mentioned with the salat and
I didn't mention the Gemara mentioned.
If the Kohen would declare that it's healing, and the tzarat is now going to not be tzarat after the eighth day,
yeah,
would they in fact wait?
No.
So they would still do it on the eighth day.
Because that's classic asay docha lo tase. Simple as that. Okay? But here you have this bizarre thing like efshar l'kayim shneihem, because she could say no. It really sounds like, you know, by offering her marriage, that's the mitzvah. Whether she chooses it or not, that's the mitzvah. Okay, let's look at the Chinuch in number 7. Here you'll get some of the background philosophy. The Chinuch says, Mishar She'amit, what's the rationale for this incredibly bizarre mitzvah? He says, Kidei le'yaser ha'nivalim min ha'ma'aseh ha'ra'azeh. This is interesting. He sees it as a punishment. Le'yaser ha'nivalim, a naval, like we want to punish the disgusting people, right? The Chinuch is kind of like, you know, letting off of steam. This isn't basar b'chalav, right? This isn't like a technical. This is rape. V'shelo yihiyu benot Yisrael kehefker. I assume, and I'm making this up, in a society in which there wasn't a very active police or court system, rapes were probably pretty common. And he says we can't have this in our, you know, we can't have benot Yisrael kehefker, where people just, you know, do what they want with them. She'im yachshov ha'ones. Lemalot nafshoba. V'yelechlo, the guy thinks, I have a desire, I'll use her, I'll fulfill my desire, and I'll move on.
Or marry her.
Yakel be'enav la'asot kein pamim harbe. You get away with it once, you do it again. Aval b'da'ato she'tihye kishura imo umutelet alav kal yamav l'chiyuv she'er k'sut va'ona. But when you, the rapist, know, this isn't a one-shot deal. Because when she goes to court and accuses you of rape, she's going to be your obligation forever.
You may want to marry this girl, but you couldn't for some reason.
Okay, so then you won't. She's not going to agree if that's the case. But for the most part, I don't have great understanding of rapes and things like that. But I think that your view is the minority view, that you rape people you want to marry. But okay. One second. So now he's going to be obligated. The chinuch says it's a deterrent. This is like as great a deterrent as you could come up with. When you think about it, it's brilliant. Because, okay, there's no chiyuv misa. She's not married. There's no chiyuv misa. So you go up, make it a bigger fine. Okay, rich people. No, but say, I got to say, if you rape her, it's forever. Right? I think he used to say that about marriage at one point. Right? That it was forever. Now it's not. But in this case, it's forever. And the chinuch says, that's the greatest deterrent you could have. In one view. Okay? Va'afilu im yakutzba lo yihye lo rishut l'garsha lo'olam. Doesn't matter how much he hates her afterwards. Right? And in the Amnon and Tamar case that somebody mentioned before, I think there really is a sense, psychologically, that after you rape her, you hate her. Okay? Anyway. So it says, Vafilu im yakutba lo yihye lo rishut l'garsha lo'olam. And he also has to pay yichbosh yitro. He says that nothing, basically will quiet your desire more than knowing that you got to pay, and this is the rest of your life. When you know that this is the result, you will find a way to overcome your desire. So basically the chinuch says, and it's so common sense, and I think it's so, it's the opposite of what we normally think. Says the chinuch, if you want to stamp out rape in society, you make it permanent, and you take away his ability to choose. Nothing, will stem your desire and make you think more rationally about it. And again, in a world in which, rape is common, this is revolutionary. This changes society.
I think Castro okay.
Now, v'gam yesh bezek tzat tanchumin al. Now he says. Now there's another part. He says, end of the second to last line. V'gam yesh bezek tzat tanchumin al ha'aniyah ha'mevuyeshet. There's a bit of a comfort to this poor, humiliated girl. Shetisha'er imo la'olam, who will be able to have a husband forever. Pen yivishena ishacher b'davar harashi irala. Because that way she'll never have to put up with people saying, I can't marry, I can't date you. Basically, it's not great, but it gives her a comfort. And the chinuch, he finishes by saying, u'pkudei Hashem yisharim misam chelev. The ways of God are correct and they make us happy. Meaning, instead of what we think, that this is like some barbaric old rule in the Torah and it shows how, the chinuch is the exact opposite. It shows the Torah's deep care for women, it shows the Torah's deep desire to build a society that's just and fair to its weakest parts, and nothing could do that more than allowing a woman to have, to make the decision. If you assume, we'll see this in the Ramban in a second, that there's a class element in rape. And I think in the old days that was the case. People were above the law, did what they wanted, right? Imagine the nobleman's son, right? He's the mayor's son. All of a sudden, it's the pauper who gets to make all the decisions. And I'll admit, maybe the mayor's son goes to her and says, I won't give you 50, I'll give you 50,000 if you agree, But she's calling the shots now. It's the exact opposite of the way the world normally works. Okay? Ramban. Last one. Source number 8. This is Ramban. There's also, we did the psukim in the end of Zavarim. There's also psukim about this in Mishpatim. Says Ramban. I picked up in the middle. Aval chalaka katuv ben ones lemafateh. there's a difference between a seducer, meaning in the end, mm-hmm. he slept, she was a willing participant, and a rapist. Shesham ne'emar v'lo t'yali isha lo yuchal shalchach kayamav. In the rapist case, it's mandatory, he can never divorce her, v'hatam. What's the difference between them? Right? Assuming they're both wrong. They're both wrong. In the Torah, they're both wrong. But yet, as we'll see when we do the Mefata one, there, he doesn't have to marry her if he doesn't want to. Okay, so Ramaz is a big difference. V'hatam. Ki derech eretz liyot bachurei chemen mefatim bitulot. He says it's the way of the world for, you know, I don't know, good-looking noblemen, whatever, to seduce women. Benot hagdolim hayafot ve'einenu hagun shiyehe chote nischar. It's a sin. And therefore, it's not fair, it's not right for him to be rewarded for it. Ve'lachen pirei shelo yisa'ena al hacham v'yishalem lahem. Okay, so he doesn't have to marry them against their will, but he does have to pay them. Uba'avur shegam hi chata b'davar, but in the case of seduction, she bears some blame. Okay, you know, you could argue exactly how much, but in the end, it was voluntary, and therefore, so he says, ba'avur shegam.
But here, the first line, second line says, mefaten, not the rapist.
Correct. Right. I'm just trying to show that. So, you're right. So, end of the third line. Ubavusha gam hi chata b'davar. In a mifateh, in a seduction case, she also bears blame. It's true, he seduced her, but she, you know, she could have said no. So, lo natan alav onesh shi yisa'ena al karcho v'day shi yishalei maknas. Says the Ramban, there's a difference. In the seduction case, he has to pay a fine. But it's not as big a crime as rape. So therefore, he doesn't have to marry her if he doesn't want to. Okay, why? Says the Ramban, because she bears some of the blame, and therefore it's not fair to put it all on him. And let's say she agrees to marry him in the seduction case. Okay, the Torah says you should get married, but the Torah leaves it up to both of them. So, but here's interesting. So let's say she agrees and he agrees. So now they get married. So it's after they get married, harei hi imo kichol hanashim. She's a regular wife. Ein la alav ketubah b'Torah, but more importantly means they could get divorced. Right? It's not lo yuchal shalchah kol yamav. Why? Because she bore part of the blame. V'chein derech b'nei agdolim la'anos b'not ha'pechutim b'ma'ala asher ein lahem koach kenegdam. This is the main point. He said, but with respect to rape, it's usually there's a difference in the social standing of the rapist and the victim, right? Because you pick out somebody, you know, who can't defend herself. So he says, in that case, that's evil. V'lachein amar ba'onet v'lo tihya le'isha al karchav. That's why the full weight of halacha comes down against rapists. The Rabban is just saying, in my experience, you know, seduction cases are more even. Okay, in the Me Too world, you know, this could be debated. But the Ramban is saying, seduction is more even, and she bears some of the blame. No matter what you're going to say, she bears some of the blame. So he doesn't get off scot-free. He has to pay a fine. But the lifetime sentence of lo yuchal shalchah kol yamav doesn't apply to him. He doesn't have to marry her if he doesn't want to. It's just, it's a subtlety, but like you see how the Torah's clued in, that we're against seduction. And we think that in a case of seduction, he bears more of the blame than her. Because if it was equal blame, he wouldn't have to pay a fine at all. But because he has to pay a fine, we do put the blame on him. Okay, but how much blame? How much blame? So the answer is, not a lifetime sentence.
It therefore makes it more knotted in social engineering, because at the end of the
yeah,
day,
for sure.
If she
I agree.
Consented, you have a woman who is still
damaged goods.
Damaged goods and bereft, and you're not dealing with her.
Okay, now, bottom paragraph, just his Valdad Rabotengu, the Gemara says, and we saw this idea already, Gam Sham in a case of rape, Bein Hi, Bein Avia Yecholim La'akev, they can stop the marriage, Ki Inena Hagum Shikachen Al Karcha. Right, that's like double rape. It's inappropriate to force a girl to have to marry her. V'yasei mashtei ra'ot. Now, again, she's a double victim. It happened the first time, and it happened the second time. Upamim shetiyah nichbedet mimenu. What if she is a noble woman? What if it happened, you know, that a lowlife, you know, raped the queen, or whatever it is? So he said, could happen. V'lo yitachen shetitpazeh b'cheto. Why would she have to be embarrassed now multiple times because, you know, he raped her? V'hamishpat hayashar shiyuha nisuin biyada v'lo biyada. The right result is, it's her decision. She can decide. Shehu yisa'ena al karcho shelo yiyu b'not Yisrael hefker leba'alei hazroa. That Jewish girls should not be, you know, hefker to the forces of society and the strongest people. Again, the mitzvah is as unique a mitzvah as we've seen, in that it's doubly conditional. It might be a knas, it might be an onesh, it might be social engineering. But what's clear to me, and I think what's obvious, is that this is the farthest thing from insensitivity on the part of the Torah. I think this is like the perfect example of what the Torah says. We want to fix society, and the way to fix society is to deal with, you know, a rapist in a way that will deter him and other rapists forever. Yeah, we're finished, but yeah, go ahead.
As you rather.
Yeah, same thing for older.
Is this the same for
yes. older? Yes, yes. The Torah talks in this case, it's hard to know exactly why. Right. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters at all. Meaning he'll say afterwards, I didn't know she was a... What's the difference? You raped her. So you're responsible.
Yeah, one is IFB and one isn't.
So good.
He raped her,
now he's lucky.
Good news. Instead of getting killed,
thank you, Ellie Weber. Today again, I'm at Father Zuretzite, ER 23rd. Avram Yaakov Ben Mordechai, first Zuretzite.